Praise his name. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads. We open the service. Heavenly Father, oh God, once again, here we are, Lord, under your presence. Lord, having you walk amongst us. We're so thankful, Father. Every opportunity I have, Lord, it's a privilege. Lord, knowing it's your grace that you saw me here tonight. Father, I could have been anywhere in the world. But Lord, you placed me here, my post of duty. Father, let me be here, Lord, every chance I get. Bless each and every one that's gathered, Father.
Yes.
Lord, may you look down on our hearts. Lord, fill us to overrunning tonight. Lord, in a special way, I pray, touch every heart. Lord, meet our needs. Father, strengthen us spiritually, physically. Lord, and we know when we leave, it'll be good to be here. We love you now, Father. Have your way. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Turn with me. I'd like to start in our Only Believe books. Page 372. My sins are gone. Do you know that with an assurance, saints?
Amen.
Every day you see your life. Amen. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, amen. My sins are gone. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, amen. My sins are gone. Oh, 'twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart. And now, hallelujah, my sins are gone. Oh, the Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad, amen, my sins are gone. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, when Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. Oh, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad, amen, my sins are gone. Praise him. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. Oh, my soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, my God, oh, hallelujah, my sins are gone. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Oh, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. I don't put a smile on your face. No, their sins are gone. Amen.
Praise his name. Page 30, same book there. Hallelujah. Higher ground. That's my prayer. Lift me up on higher ground. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table lands a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me to higher ground. Lord, lift me up, O God, and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on
your prayer.
Yes,
Lord, plant my feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 7. Amen. Sing this. When the redeem, I'm thinking of the rapture. Get it on your heart more and more every day.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed,
oh, hallelujah,
are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and freak moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Are gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, our music, oh, our singing o'er that city will be rolled when the redeemed,
oh, think about it, hallelujah.
Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and freak moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed, oh glory, are gathering in. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and free pulses. Oh, how we'll shout, amen. How we'll sing. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed, oh praise him, amen. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and freak mossin. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing, amen, when the redeemed, oh, are you looking for that day, hallelujah. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and free pulse in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Oh, Lord Jesus, looking for that day. Oh, hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Oh, what singing there's going to be. Oh, what music. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. What we got to look forward to, saints. Amen. It's just around the corner. Keep your eye on the goal. Amen. Hallelujah. It won't be long. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? That's a blessing. Oh, I want to see him. Amen. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh my life, ever to rejoice. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hope at last, ever to rejoice. Praise his name. Amen. Hallelujah. How many have a request? Something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request again this evening?
Heavenly Father, we come to thee one more time, Lord. It is wonderful day that you bless us with, Lord. Lord God, I pray, Father, that you meet every need here tonight, every hand was raised. Lord. Maybe they didn't even raise their hand, but they had the need of their heart, Lord. Pray, Father, tonight you grant the need. Whether it be a spiritual need or a physical need or a material need, we pray that you meet the need, Lord, tonight. Pray, Father, that you help us tonight. You speak to us in our hearts, Lord, through the way of your word, Lord, that we be encouraged and strengthened, our Father. We not be able to stand in this hour in which we live, Lord, and we're not being caught up with the cares of the life, Lord, and the things of the world, Lord, and the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life will not be able to overcome us, Lord, but we'll draw closer to you, Lord, and we'll be able to overcome all these things. You will tempt us and test us and try us, oh God, and we might stand true and faithful to you. We pray the anointing of thy word of all the word that comes forth tonight, Lord. Anoint the speaker, Lord God, in the glory of your heart.
have a special song on your heart? Josh, you got something?
Just sing a few verses that I want to see on page
8. Amen. Truly such an anticipation should be coming over us. Amen. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win, and oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads where'er be tied. And oh, I want to see him, oh God, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fire. With a tender hand I stretch toward the valley glow, guiding me, oh, I can see, amen. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, hallelujah. And oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, oh, my life, ever to rejoice.
Amen. He's wonderful. Praise his name. Truly, truly, I want to see him. Amen. Praise his name. Let's all stand together, if you will. Amen. Sing the chorus, only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe.
Just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Yes. Lord, we've come tonight, Lord, just asking you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I may be the voice that will read and exhort back these things to us, but Lord, it's your word and we know it's inspired. Yes. And Lord, we just ask that some nugget, Lord, something that will be said will strike our hearts in a greater way. To cause us, Lord, to continue to press this race and to run, Lord, like we've never have before as we see time fast approaching. And Lord, we just commit ourselves unto thee for service. Ask your blessings upon the word and to our hearts to the hearing. And we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn over to Matthew and read a very familiar scripture in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Just a little exhortation this evening, praying that we'll be able to say something to help us along the way, and just praying that we'll keep those things that was spoken this morning in our hearts, and may it grow and become a greater inspiration to us through God's precious word, and realizing as Paul had said one time, of the times and the seasons, you need not I write unto you, because you know. And by God's grace, he has declared to us exactly what's happening, and we're not blind and we're not oblivious to the things that are going on around us. But we want to make sure that when we look into that precious word, we see our name where it says overcomer. It's showing we're right underneath that. Amen. But here in Matthew, the 16th chapter, and let's just start here at the 13th verse. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others, and Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered him and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. What a time. But as we, how simple Jesus put that question to them of, "Whom do men say that I am?" And all, many say you're this, many say you're that, all kinds of things. But when he asked him, "Whom do ye say that I am?" there was no hesitation with Peter. He knew, because it had been revealed to him by God's grace. And we see that made real to him. And a lot of times that's the way this word sometimes can become to people. They fail to get a genuine revelation for themselves of what God has delivered. And we are people that have many of us have come up through different organizations, and then as our pastor mentioned, we've also come up through message churches, some of us, where we saw creeds and ideas. And it never fails to strike at me into my remembrance of how many times people would get into the rut of, "I need to ask the pastor if I can do this. I need to go ask if it's okay for me to watch this. It's okay. Can I look at this? Can I go over here? Can I listen to this?" And men build their lives on somebody else's revelation, or trying to live on somebody else's idea or approach to the Word of God. But let's turn over to Galatians, if you would, with me. To Galatians, the first chapter. And let's read here, as Paul, something, as he said, we've all read this many times, but it's just striking to me as we begin to think about these things and the time in which we're living, and realizing we're individuals before God. As our pastor was bringing that this morning, it's, "I know thy works, but he that hath an ear, let him hear." So I want you to notice that somebody's going to hear, somebody's not. And by God's grace, we want to be in that group that's hearing. Amen. And we want to make sure that it's identified that we've heard. Yes. And if you've truly heard, it'll bring forth fruits that it's there. Yes. But listen at Paul as he put it here in Galatians, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse. "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto, than we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do now I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard in my conversations in times past in the Jews' religion how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And I just love how Paul, God spoke to his heart. And today, it's so obvious, men want to run to the next minister. God begins to stir them, and they want to go get a hold of somebody else first. But Paul didn't that way. He went down into Arabia, and just him and the Lord. And he took that precious word and then began to let it search his heart and his life. And when he come back up out of Arabia, he was ready. And he could stand there and say a scripture like that, I certify you, brethren. What I received, I didn't receive from flesh and blood. But oh, what a striking that ought to put into our hearts. The same as Peter who stood there and was able to say, thou art the Christ. And that's the way this word should be burning in our hearts so great. That as it comes forth, it's not my pastor said. I heard him tell us. I know it went this way, and I know it went that way, and I know it's got to be like this because brother so-and-so said he had a dream or he had a vision and it went this way. No. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. And don't think I'm trying to pass the ministry, because God's got a purpose and a place, so you keep that in order. But you look at how God is dealing with you as an individual. God said he would no longer speak to us lip to ear, but he would only through his revealed unto his servants the prophets. And then he gave those gifts unto men to bring us to that full stature of Christ. And as that word's coming forth and we're standing here, we're not getting the revelation of some pastor. We're not getting the revelation of just some man. No, we're getting God is speaking to our hearts and placing within us the same revelation, the same assurance that Peter was able to stand there and declare. And as Paul could stand there and say, I can tell you that what I have, I didn't get from flesh and blood. I'm not living on someone else's idea. I'm not living on what someone else is doing. But by God's grace, I'm looking into the perfect law of liberty, and I have found in there that my life is hid in those pages, and I can back it up 100%. It's so easy sometimes as human beings to catch on to things. Even where we come from, sometimes it's so easy just to think that's the way we did it. That's the way it is. That's what I know. But have we ever stopped with everything and said, Lord, let's back it back up in your word. Let's look back and see where that's found. That's right. And to see how it starts. And what was the Holy Ghost given for? To be a lead. He said, howbeit the Comforter, which will come in my name, he will teach you all things. Amen. And he will guide you into all truths. Amen. And bring to your remembrance everything that I have spoken unto you. Yes. And then Paul come and he spoke telling us to follow those that have the obey those that have the rule over you, following the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what a consolation it is to be able to sit here tonight and know in our hearts that what is burning in my heart, what is striking in my heart, what's striking in your heart is not because I come to the Capstone Life Tabernacle and I want to do everything just like this little Capstone Life Tabernacle is doing, but as individuals before God, I want my life to be a reflection to him of this precious word. And it's an individual affair. Each one. Just think at the time those apostles were standing there, but it was Peter that he revealed to it at that time exactly who he was and showed forth. Look at Paul being a messenger for the age and coming, and then being able to go into, and he went on to say after he come back out of Damascus, he went up and spent 15 days with Peter. And I thought, my, what a time that must have been to be able to sit there and listen and just been a fly on the wall. But by God's grace, those things that we needed to know have been recorded right here for us. We have the opportunity to go back and study and to read and to listen at those things that God wanted to make known to you and I. Amen. And sometimes maybe that's why we don't study like we should, why we don't read like we should, or pray like we should. Sometimes we forget who we're communing to and why he's wanting to have communion with us. And why we're reading what we're reading. It's not truly a love letter to us. We don't see it that way. We just see it as a Bible that men read out of. We see it as books that was messages preached. But when it becomes a reality to you that that's my soon coming King, that's where I'm going to spend eternity with, and I truly see what he did for me and made preparations for me to stand here today and to feel the joy that I feel in my heart, to have the peace that I have, and to be able to sing the songs of worship that we even sang tonight with a reality, knowing, oh, what a joy and what a place in our hearts, saints, to see that take place, but to see that we have the opportunity to be overcomers in this age. Amen. I'm kind of getting off my message a little bit, but I want to read just a couple things. And it may not sound like I'm going, you can't bring it all out in much time, but just to give a little bit of a quick clip of kind of thinking along the overcomers and thinking of some of the things he was bringing this morning. When you look at Israel and all of them come out together and you think about that, they were all excited to get out from underneath that bondage, the pressure of that thumb. But only two of them truly caught the vision of what they were coming out for. They truly only realized why they left what they had left behind and why they were moving forward. But it was something that struck their heart. God had made them a promise. The same as to Abraham when he said, I'll give you this. Come. It wasn't revealed to everybody that was following along with Abraham, but Abraham knew that city was laying out there somewhere, and he was looking for it. And by God's grace, he was pressing through all that. But in the message, the token, this was preached September 1st, 63, as paragraph 260, Brother Branham was saying, that's denomination or not denomination, either one. You must come beneath the blood, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, undenomination, whatever you are. It's for an individual, and you've got to come beneath that blood. And don't just talk about it, but receive it. Hear me, in the name of the Lord, hear me. See, you've got to come beneath the blood. He was not responsible for any persons from beneath the blood, and God made it clear that all from under that blood would perish. And may I use his words, all outside of Christ will perish. And how do you get into Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit. Not by a handshake, not by one membership, by one denomination. That's what they're trying to make it, and they may do that. But by one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And if an angel from heaven teaches anything else, Paul said, let him be accursed. That's the message. Come into Christ. And I want you to stop to think about that as he was typing that to the believer in the old day when they made their sacrifice. They had to apply that blood. And when they come out of Egypt, they were applying the blood over the doorpost as a sign. But think of the worshipers. He was making that sacrifice to cover his sins. And how that the blood was on his hands. He was identified with that sacrifice at the time. And it showed, it was evident that he had took that lamb down there and slain it and offered it precisely the way God had instructed him to do, to cover that. But then in the message, desperations, just to kind of follow along here, just I pray I'm not too shotgun, but just listen to a few things here. He says, we'll start at paragraph 11 just to catch this. Just like preaching salvation, we have to preach salvation in a way that everybody, it's for everybody, which we know it isn't. We have to preach divine healing for everybody, yet we know it isn't. Jesus came to save those who was in the book of redemption before the foundation of the world. He only come to save those who they are. I don't know. Nobody can have faith unless you say it's for whosoever. And it is. Nobody can come unless God has called them. That is true. So there is many people that won't be saved. We know about it. God knew that before the world began that they wouldn't be saved. And there is many that won't be healed. See, many won't be healed. They just can't. They can't grasp it. They don't know what it is. But we preach it if it's for everybody because we don't know who that person is. We just don't know. But that is a whosoever. But some people just can't grasp that faith. And the same thing about this token. We've talked to the token all the way along about now it is the manifestation of the token. And we have sometimes allowed it, the Lutherans allowed it, to accepting the word. Accepting Christ as your personal Savior. The Methodists said when you get happy to shout, that's it. The Pentecostals say speaking in tongues, then you got it. And we find out that it was all wrong. And the token is a token. It's you and Christ as persons together. It's the Holy Spirit, His life in you, working His own life through you. And it's for the rich, poor, for whosoever will receive it. And remember, the token, he says, you go to the railroad company and you buy your fare. There is a price. Say it costs 50 cents to ride this bus line or the railroad from Charleston to Indiana. It costs 50 cents. And the company puts out the token so that the same thing, you go down there and someone purchases your fare, 50 cents. They give you a token that gives you the ride on that train to its destination, wherever that train goes, see? Now, in this case, the blood was the token, literally. It had to be applied because it was just chemistry is all they had. Because it was the lamb's blood, an animal's blood, so the life that was in the blood, that life was gone out, and that blood was shed, and the life went out, but it couldn't come back upon that believer because it was an animal. And it only spoke of a good conscience. But there was coming one, a perfect sacrifice. And to make it a perfect one, the whole judge, the God of heaven, became the sacrifice, judge, jury, and attorney. And he became the sacrifice that when his life went out, which was God, and the word there where it comes, I'll give unto eternal life. I'll give unto them eternal life. In the Greek, I know I'm talking to scholars and I see two or three. The word in Greek there is Zoe, which means God's own life. I will give unto him Zoe, my own life. Christ and God was one. And then the life that was in Christ is the Holy Ghost, not the third person, but the same person in the form of the Holy Spirit, coming upon you as a token that your life and your fare is paid and you have been accepted. And until that token comes, you're not permitted on the highway. You're not permitted in the bus line. You're not permitted to go in until you can present this token. And that token is your fare, and now it shows that the blood has been shed and been applied to you, and the price has been applied to you, and you have that token that the blood is applied to you. You're accepted. Get it? Not just know certain evidence. You say, and Brother Branham says, I feel it in your mind, see? Look. And he says, I feel it in your minds. Why will I know? People were still looking for something to hold on to. I spoke in tongues. That's it. I got it. I danced in the Spirit. I've got it. I accepted Brother Branham was a prophet. I got it. People want to grab on to something. Brother so-and-so told me I had it. They don't want to get their own revelation and see God make His Word made flesh and made alive in them. They miss it. Even then, they were still grasping. Think about it as He's saying that He could fill it in the Spirit. How will I know then? How am I going to know? But just think, God so graciously showed unto us exactly what that plan would and how we would know that life was on display. How we would know that token was applied. We stand here tonight not ignorant. We don't stand here blindly wondering and still hoping, did I get it? Do I have it? No, we have what we need to know for a fact it's been applied. It will show forth. He says, look, what were you and what are you? There is how you know. What was you before this token was applied? And what are you after it's applied? What was your desires before? And what is your desires after? Then you know whether the token is applied or not. And the other things just automatically go with it. So I want you to think about that. As he began to bring those things and all the way up through all of the messages from there to the end of his services. The Holy Spirit rolled that out to show us without a doubt. And as our pastor was speaking this morning, that overcomer is he's going to grant to sit with him on his throne. Amen. It's going to be evident. You can't overcome in yourself. We know it's only Christ through us that we can do anything. But he predestinated a people to be conformed to his image. Yes. He predestinated a people that this word would be their all. It would be their ultimate. It would just mean so much to them that they would lay everything else aside in this life. There would be nothing more important than this word and seeing Jesus Christ made flesh in their body. Amen. You know, it's kind of like coming to church. You know, sometimes you might get the idea of, I know what he's going to preach on. I know what's going to be said. I probably don't really need to be there tonight. I can miss. It'll be all right. I, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm good. But the Bible told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm not talking about, like, just think about it in your own mind. I've seen people make so many small excuses to miss service. Sometimes they get, you know, where we used to go, I was one of those people sometimes that was making those excuses why I couldn't be there. And you know, we look into God's precious word, but if it's truly revealed to you who's speaking to you when you walk in these doors, whether it's here, whether you're gathering to hear God's precious word, if you come with the right attitude, motive, and objective, it changes your whole outlook on why you're gathering in somewhere. You know, many gather for fellowship. Many gather just to rub shoulders with one another and to be seen and wear a pretty dress or wear a nice suit and have people notice their new car when they pull in the parking lot. But then there's some people that just come humbly for one purpose, and that's to have God speak to them. Yes, realizing they're coming to be fortified with God's precious word, it means more to them than anything else in life. And you know, it often shows how much time we'll spend maybe researching how to catch that next biggest fish. How much time we'll put into, maybe we're fixing to buy an automobile and we'll just dig and research and hunt and try to find every little thing we can about that car. But here we're dealing with a life eternal, and sometimes we can't find 10 minutes to research what God's got for us. Think about it, where it puts our perspectives. But you watch God as he comes in. Where was Paul for 3.5 years down there in Arabia looking, searching, hunting? He didn't want what somebody else could tell him about it. He wanted God to reveal it to him. Amen. Personally, he wanted to know that he knew. And then it defied when he stood there and all the things he faced, he didn't have to run and grab the phone and call Peter. Peter, is this what he said? No, he didn't have to do that. It was anchored in his heart because of what God had revealed to him. And oh my, each one of us has got to have that same revelation. We've started on a journey. We've come many miles, but we still got a ways to go. And by God's grace, the ticket and the fare's been paid. Yes. And the directions are laying directly in front of us if we'll only but take them and follow them to the letter. Amen. And not get our eyes set, well, I'm a good person, I go to church, I'm a good person, I read, I pray every morning, I pray over my food. There's more to the life of Jesus Christ than that. Yes. It's a life that you don't live yourself. But it's got to be evident to others that that token is being manifested. The literal life of Jesus Christ on display, coming back through us. Amen. Let's see here. This is in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And you've all read this many times, but it's just still striking to me all the time. But paragraph 300, we'll start there and read down a ways. He says, and the life of Jesus Christ ever puts forth another body of believers, it'll bear the fruit that the first one did. They'll write a book of Acts behind it because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit, itself living its life through you. Blind leaders of the blind notice God holds the key alone. No theologian can tell you. It's not known. It's hid from them. They know nothing about it. The schools, let me drop down to 303. He says, God is known by simplicity and of revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. Not your theology. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and no other rock's accepted. No other thing's accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth. He's born in there. And he injects his own life, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with preeminences to the people that they see the very life, works, signs, and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of us not even called to at all. Watch God's great revelation unfolding. Yes. And by lack of this revelation is why we see so many different divisions among us, so much mockery. So much division among us is because the people lack that revelation. They lack the revelation in the teachers. Paul, after this, his great revelation of Christ, said in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, be sure to read that as you write it down. Watch. I never come to you with wisdom. Look at the man who did have the wisdom, or look at the man who had the scholarship. I never come to you with them kind of words. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, oh, I wish. He said, let's just read now. Can you stand a minute? Let's just read a verse or two. I'd like to read it so it'd get even the people on tape to turn back to it anyhow and to give them a chance. First Corinthians, the second chapter. Listen, he says, Paul, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I never said that I'm Dr. So-and-so. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my beseeching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the power. And there, see, is the gospel. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Didn't say go teach, go preach. In other words, demonstrate the power. And these signs shall follow them. Just teaching doesn't do it. It takes the actual Spirit itself demonstrating these signs. Listen to this. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes. Oh my, see, to change the man. Not in what I can explain away and say he's not the same when he is the same. If I do, it shows me surely a man tell me that would show to me he don't have the revelation, the threefold revelation of God, see. But how be it in weakness among you that are perfect, ye that know not, yet not the wisdom of the world, but of the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, the threefold mystery of God, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, and none of the priests, rabbis, pardon me, or anything, knew anything about it. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you said you're wrong about rabbis and preachers there. Who crucified him? Uh-huh. Oh, no. On and on we go and read and see, because we're now getting late. We got plenty here. Say, Lord, help us. No. And he says, hold on. He says, Paul, this great intellectual man, never tried to express his great theological terms upon the people. He humbly accepted the word of the Lord. And he lived the word so that expressed through him. He lived so godly until they seen Jesus Christ in him so much, till they wanted his handkerchief to take and lay it upon the sick. There is the life of Christ. And I want you to think about that. We can look back and see in the scriptures, go all the way back to the Old Testament when God was working through those old prophets, Elijah, Elisha. The people saw it. They knew that was God's man. They knew that was God doing those works through that person. And the same was when Jesus Christ came on the scene and his life was lived out. There was those that seen him that knew. Many called him, look at all the different people that came to him through the scriptures, Master. And he said, why callest thou me Master? Why callest you? Look at all the different places it was recognized. They knew he was more than what they could see. And then you see after the day of Pentecost when Peter and John stood up and then began to see the life of his life relived through those apostles. They could put they recognized it. Just think about the life that they were seeing, the manifestations they were seeing that had been done through the prophets of old. Yes. Knowing that the scriptures had spoken of what that Messiah would be. And could see those that had eyes to see could see. Think of the little woman at the well. I know when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. She left her water pot, it struck the seed inside her, and away she went. But others, they just couldn't accept that that was truly the Lord doing those things. They couldn't accept that that was the Messiah that was to be sent. But look at what God has done through those men. As Peter raised up, they saw the same works that was done through the Lord Jesus Christ, done through them through the book of Acts, through Stephen, all of them. They saw the same manifestations. Paul come on the scene. They knew he had been over there, as Brother Smith puts it, killing grandma all the time, doing all these things that he said he'd done. But yet they could see the change that had come into his life, and they could see the manifestations that was coming forth and look right back and say, that's got to be the same Spirit. There was no denying it. They could see it being made flesh right under their very face. They could see those actions taking place. Think about Brother Branham coming on the scene. And he began to his great healing ministry taking place at that time and God beginning to move. People couldn't deny it. They could look back and see it, the pillar of fire. It all lined right up 100%. They knew that was God's voice. They knew that that was God speaking. But yet that message that was coming through that voice was only to a select few. Only a certain group was predestinated to catch the essence of everything that was spoken. And by God's grace, I pray that I'm one of them that was predestinated. As I look at my life and I measure up, and as the word comes forth, we continually measuring up ourselves, not by ourselves, but looking in God's word and saying, I match, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But without that identification, what if that worshiper said, I sacrificed my lamb, and there wasn't no lamb to be seen, and there wasn't no blood to be seen, and there wasn't no altar to be seen? But today when we stand here and say, by God's grace, I know he's been revealed to me. That life that was to return back is bearing manifestations through my body, through your body, that lines up, that proves that the exact same life, the same works that was done in that book of Acts is starting to happen again through a people. The same Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost when he divided himself and came back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a dwelling with you and I tonight, as we said here, hearing God's precious word. It's our turn to measure up, not to get slow forward, to just get satisfied. I accepted the prophet came. I understand his books. I've read every book he's got. I've read every message. I've heard every message. I've heard God's word is inspired, and he's still teaching and guiding us into all truths. But sometimes we won't tear down the old creeds and things that we've held on to in our minds to allow him to take us to the next place he'd like to take us. And it's time to get ourselves and lay out before God and make sure that we're not holding on to something that's hindering him from taking us to the next step. Hallelujah. It was so easy for, it's okay for you to do that, brother, but don't you do that, brother. It's wrong for you. No, if it's wrong in God's word, it's wrong for everyone. And that's where people got to leaning upon a man and leaning upon somebody else's understanding. Can I do this? Can I do this? If when they would just come back to their own and go search it for themselves. Yeah. Not just blunderly running through life. Well, I don't go to any church anymore. That don't put me on restriction or tell me I can't. No, we've lost that. But now it's looking into that Bible and realizing this is the difference between being saved and not being saved. Not just because I belong to a church, not just because I follow a certain person, because I really appreciate brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. No, it ain't got nothing bearing on it. It ain't got no do how I'm related to anyone in the church. No, it ain't got nothing to do with it. It's my relationship with Jesus Christ personally. And all that is what will make the difference. But it isn't just the pastor patting you on the back or shaking hands that you belong here. It's wonderful. No. It's come down to that time. To the overcomer will I grant to sit with me on my throne. And this word has been laying here, and it's been pushed out, and it's being pushed out. The Holy Spirit making sure and bringing to our attention each and everything. And as we lay before God, even you don't even have to be at service. Maybe it's through the week you're studying, meditating, and you watch the Holy Spirit strike something in your heart, and you watch, you have to just, Lord, I need to lay that aside. But oftentimes we get so focused on being human beings. We're in this life, but we're not of it. We need to turn our eyes back to where we're headed and back to the purpose for which we've been sent and make sure that that is truly in our focus, not just to be grow old in this life. That's not my purpose. God sent us here, and he may not come for a long time. It's in his planning. We don't know when he'll come, but if he comes tomorrow, I want to know that I'm matching what was spoken to me for today. And by God's grace, I want to be able to know that that overcoming is verified and taking place today. Not tomorrow, but today I want to see the results. That as I heard the word this morning, I've climbed a one rung higher. I didn't just sit still and say, I just don't know why that got preached this morning. I just couldn't understand. No. There's something down inside that's churning. Lord, that's got to be me. That's a height I want to reach. Lord, not to let any word just become a word that I become dull of hearing. But every time I hear the word, I want to apply it to my life, that it takes me on higher. There's so much in this, in the scriptures. There's still so much in there that we need as individuals, all of us, each one, every day. It's our sustaining strength. You can't stop eating your food and expect your life to continue. You can't do it. And that's why sometimes some are so spiritually weak, is because we quit eating our food and we get deficient. But oh, it's laying here in abundance. And he's always waiting. He's not pushy. But oh, if you just take him up at his word, oh my, what a blessing is always waiting in store. Amen. Amen. Let me see here. So he goes on to make sure we'll go on down here. He says, now watch, some of you say, well, Elijah done that a long time ago, ladies stick, but oh, that was the days of Elijah, and the world thought that, the intellectual priests and things, churches of that day thought that, but to them believers, they know different. They had seen the revelation of Christ that was in Elijah. Same thing was in Paul, expressing the same kind of life, because he was a prophet. He foretold things that happened exactly the way it was. And they knowed that was God's identification of a prophet. And they knowed he was God's prophet. And you couldn't shake them from it at all. Even when they seen Peter foretell those things that come to pass. And they said, just let his shadow pass over me. That's the church. That's the ones that believe. Yes, sir, it was revealed. Why did Paul say, because I got a PhLLD, so forth, that they believe me? No, he said, I forgot all of those things the wisdom of man said had to die, and I know him in the power of his resurrection. And that's what I come to you at with a demonstration of God's power. What was it? Making Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same works that Jesus did, Paul did the same. And when they seen God, the great Father that had demonstrated in the burning bush, had demonstrated it to Paul, here it was being demonstrated, he is the same in every age. God's threefold manner, yesterday, today, and forever. What? A redeemer in his church, preeminences into the coming kingdom. Amen. You see, just as perfect as it can be. But notice, the Holy Ghost is the only revealer of divine revelation of Christ. There is no school can do it, no scholar can do it, and no man, how well educated, how godly, or anything else, there is no man can do it. And all that's why we cry, Lord, give me revelation. Amen. That's why it's burning in my heart, not just to come listen to our pastor and just think, I've got to hear what he's got to say. I've got to hear. That's good. You need to hear what your pastor's got to say. But you got to look at who give the message to the pastor to bring to you. And sometimes it's easy still. People get the man so lifted up in their eyes. Not saying that's happening here. I don't mean that. But that's what happens. People begin to look at just the pastor. And they forget they have to have a revelation. And the pastor may have truly understood some things and he passes it along. But it's got to be revealed personally to you that that's God's word and it's manifested and vindicated in your life, not just in the pastor's life. And oh, may we truly begin to examine ourselves greater. Lord, as we've heard about having it renewed to our minds of overcoming and seeing that, may that be renewed in our minds this week as we go through and our tests and our trials arise. May that be foremost. Lord, am I still doing the same thing I did 20 years ago, or did I overcome it this week, Lord? And let a hymn will answer the question for us. Maybe we'll find that we need him more than we thought we did. And by God's grace, maybe it'll keep us humble to say, Lord, without you, I know I can truly do nothing. And lean upon him, for he is our strength. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. Amen. We'll save some of this. Amen. Yeah, let me go ahead and catch over here in paragraph 332. The Holy Ghost alone is the revealer of divine revelation of Christ and has been in all ages. Remember, all ages. Who did the word of the Lord come to? The prophet. Prophet alone. That's right. And the prophet had to be vindicated first, not because he said he was a prophet, because he was born a prophet, but because he was born a prophet and proved to be a prophet. Everything he said was exactly on the word and come to pass. That everything else let go. It was the word of the Lord came only by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, men of old moved by the Holy Ghost, he wrote the word. Look, John the Baptist would never have known Jesus if it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost pointing him out. That's right. John the Baptist, that great prophet that came forth, said there is one standing among you right now, an ordinary man standing here somewhere. That's the Lamb of God. John said, then I bore record and I bear record. I saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost descending from heaven like a dove, and it went upon him. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. What was it? The Holy Ghost said, I'll point him out. And that's the only way you'll know him today. The only way you'll get a threefold revelation of God is for the Holy Ghost. And the only way it can ever be is you're predestinated to see it. Amen. So just think about that. The Holy Spirit, when we come in here and gather, who's pointing him out to you?
Yes,
you know, God gave gifts to lay before and to prepare and to bring the word that you might hear, to use voices of men to read. But it's the Holy Ghost, as we said here, that's pointing him out of these scriptures, pointing him out of those quotes, and bringing and captivating our hearts that there he is. I see him. I see him made real. I see who he is. I see it alive. And oh, it's not nothing that a man can do, but how shall they hear it except they have a preacher? Think of the scriptures God's put in order and the way he set it up. But we sit here tonight, each time we come in, oh, you know, we know each other well, and we're wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, but don't ever lose the reverence of while we're sitting here underneath the Holy Spirit. It's him that's pointing himself out to you, showing you this is who I am, and this is why I predestinated you. This is why you're here. This is for you, son or daughter. It's your chance. It's your turn, amen, to be right there. But oh, look what he's done for us, saints. Amen, as we We see all this taking place around us. How great and thankful we ought to be that the Holy Spirit is pointing out. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. But stay right here and look towards me. Amen. I'm thankful for what God is doing. But oh, our assurance must not be in our church, not in what I've read in the past, what I know. But it's got to be a personal experience that my life is vindicating. Something has changed. A changed life. It's His life made returned back into that body of believers. And it's going to bear forth the same life. The fruits of the Spirit, they'll be evident. Amen. Now, all of it, everything, brotherly kindness, love, long-suffering, peace, gentleness, joy, all of it made real and alive in our hearts. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Amen. Pray so you can take something from God's precious word. Amen. He's so precious. There's so many things. When you get to, there's just so much that you just feel like, oh, if we could all just pour it out sometimes and grab it. But we can only do what God gives us to do. Amen. And we can only say what He lets us say. And I thank God. I don't want to be what I want to say. You know, sometimes you read God's word, you may get up here and preach, and I'm sure our pastor has a lot more experience than I do of being able to tell you that there's times you say things, you just explain it differently than what you were kind of seeing it when you were looking at it and reading it. But God knows exactly how He wants it brought out. And underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, He'll make sure that it catches the attention of where it was supposed to go. Amen. I pray, Lord, just keep me open. Keep me humble.
Yes.
Keep me yielded to You, Lord. Don't let me become a great know-it-all and think that I know who the prophet was and I can explain everything. No, but Lord, keep me humble and just let me know that by God's grace, I see You revealed Yourself to me and was continuing to reveal Yourself to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody got a course on your heart? Anything at all? Amen. That's odd. I don't have a song. Amen. We'll let our brother come. Amen. Lord bless you.
Amen to the word.
Amen.
I appreciate that very much. In listening to what he all said there, it just renews my mind back to why a few years ago I would not go to any minister's meetings. Being invited, I said I just couldn't feel led by the Holy Spirit to do so. But I'm free of all men, free of flesh, and all the nonsense that goes on in those ministers' meetings. And, you know, they get to trying to explain it this way and this way, and they think it's this way, and you get all kind of opinions, try to come together with opinions, and then you get opinions behind the pulpit. I want nothing but the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the way I want it to be all the time. And if I get a revelation, I don't want to come from no man. I want to come from the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the true revelation. And then when it comes out to the Word of God and it gels all together, nothing breaks continuity, you know it is the Holy Spirit. So it stays with the Word, as the prophet always said, stay with that Word, stay with the Word, you know. And that's what we all have to do, stay with the Word. Amen. So I appreciate that word tonight. Anybody still got a song? Sure, you didn't think, somebody thought of a song, but now, amen. Well, I got something that's on my heart. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, amen, because He's done so much for me. Amen, He's been so good to me. Let's sing it together.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and just what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Oh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and just what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me.
Let us just bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to the close of another service, Lord, and we've said many times, now as we go and lie in our beds tonight, and we all go to sleep, Lord, this day has become history. And Father, what will this day in history reveal to us? What has been made alive to us? Father, only you alone know, and Father, the individual heart knows what's happened in their life today. But Lord, I trust that somehow, some way, that today, Lord, all of us have grown closer to you. And we've all been able to climb that great ladder, Lord, one more rung, at least one more rung. Maybe we could take a few, Lord. But Father, it's only by the Holy Spirit we can do so. So we ask that you would just bless each one now, and it's truly been a blessing to be here, Lord. We appreciate that. And we ask now again that you'd watch over us, keep us safe on the highways, Lord, and bring us back again, Lord, at the next appointed time, if you should tarry, because, Lord, again, we don't know when the last day will be. But, Father, we know that you promised in the last days you would come. And, Lord, you'd catch your waiting right away. Those that truly love the appearing of the Lord Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be those people. And we know only by grace we can be. So we ask now that you'd bless us. And may we glorify your name this week as we go on. And Father, as every onlooker passes by us, may they see Jesus Christ living today. We thank you now for all things. And through your glorious name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May God richly bless you. Keep on pressing on. Amen. It's getting close.